12, 1 and 2. This too is a long reading. It's only two verses, but it is a summary of all that has gone before. By faith, Abraham, by faith, Moses, and by faith, the saints of the church. 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely to us, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured this cross, despising and disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of God. This, brothers and sisters, the word of the Lord for the people of faith. Thanks be to God. Jesus has made a way for us to come into the kingdom of God in peace, and to not do so alone, but rather to come surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. And having had the opportunity to cast off all that has dragged us down, all that has weighed us down, and the sin that has clinged so closely to us, so that we might run with endurance and hope the race that is set before us. That race is complex and it is challenging. It is a future thing. All of the history that has been read, the faith of Moses, the faith of Abraham, the faith of other heroes, has been in the past. And what is now required is for us to be the faith people of the future, to look ahead and to look with hope, to look with courage, and to live into the faith that the cloud of witnesses behind us has provided. So let's lay aside all the heavy parts and let's run with endurance the race that is set before us. The race that is set before the United Methodist Church right now is a challenging one. It has its own set of weights. Thankfully, this congregation and this community seem to be more open and more progressive and more willing to accept people. That's not so throughout all of the rural areas of East Texas and of West Texas, where rugged individualism rules. The one where we've come from, for example. But we've set that aside. Now we've graduated 6 months past that, and here we are in Commerce, Texas, and in a university community, and in a place where people are accepted and loved for who they are, and yet called forward to grow in their faith. Everyone is welcome here in this congregation. I celebrate that, and I claim hope in Christ because of it. For we are all, every one of us, in need of God's grace. We all face God as our companion and our judge and our guide, and thankfully, as a graceful judge. Bishop Oliveto has said, United Methodists will provide a critical witness to a fractured, hurting world. so that we do not have to lead with division. And she notes that unity is not the same as uniformity. As you know, probably, there's a special session of General Conference, the highest regulating body of the United Methodist Church, going on right now, today, yesterday, and today in Seattle, in St. Louis. I wrote STL. STL. That's St. Louis, right? I'm not stupid, except when I use abbreviations. Trash can is in the way. So our brothers and sisters in Christ, clergy and lay, and I believe it's equal representatives, clergy and lay, are in conference right now in St. Louis. And there are plans to move forward in the church despite our challenges and our disagreements. And as you know, those disagreements are real, whether they exist in this room or out in the counties of Northeast Texas. And some of those issues relate to the very profound questions that we have about, can we ordain LGBTQ clergy? And can we perform same-sex weddings in the life of the church? Those are huge questions. They are questions of our culture and the questions that demand an answer. How will our conference, how will our local church be able to meet the ministry needs of people who are on the way to faith? That's all any of us can claim, isn't it? That we are on the way to faith. That we somehow have to keep making progress in our faith and in our welcoming of people in our culture, in our land, in our communities, across the road in our campus, and right here in Commerce, Texas. I have to help you understand that marriage is a legal matter. It is a matter of the state. You have to register in the county where you reside to get a marriage license. And yet you ask a pastor to bless that and to make it good. It's really two different things. You don't even have to ask the pastor to make it good. You can just go down to the courthouse and get a marriage license, right? You don't have to be able to do it in the church. It's a privilege. The church has a privilege of blessing the union of people in a marriage covenant. We encourage people to give witness to their faith and to find a church home that welcomes them and to live in leadership and ministry and in a partnership with God and with the church and other people of faith. It's not a requirement to do that. You can go to the courthouse, get a marriage license, have someone in a legal office say the words, and you're married. It's a legal matter. But see, we believe that a marriage is more than that. It is not just a legal matter, but a covenant, a way of moving forward into blessing a family with a partnership, a union, a bit of teamwork in ways that will move us forward and move the family forward. Oh, there are so many single parent families, moms raising kids, dads raising kids. It's a grave challenge to do that by yourself, but when you can do it with another person, whoever that person is, if you can co-parent your kids and sort of gang up on them, have two sets of eyes looking, you know? Our culture is at that point, and the United Methodist Church is not. And yet this weekend, today, right now, in St. Louis, there are conversations going on as to how we can move forward in the life of the church to discuss plans to move forward despite deep disagreement over ordaining clergy that are different from us and performing weddings for persons of even the same gender. I helped to lead in a funeral for a beloved band director up in Grayson County. This has been 15 years ago, probably. Yeah, you know, these musicians. There were two men who came to me after that service and said, "Would we and our child be welcome in your congregation?" And I said, "As far as I can tell, yes, you would be." They never came. They never came. And it saddened me that they never came. I hoped that they believed my message. But perhaps it was that, as far as I am concerned, yes, that they resisted. And they recognized in that perhaps in the life of the general church, they might not. I know that's beyond the experience of most of you, and or many of you anyway, and me. But to tell you that my experience nor yours is necessarily the norm for other people, it certainly is questionable. To be faithful, we have to acknowledge our differences in strength and in diversity. Faithful, feeling people, artists and musicians, faith-filled and faithful. When I was a music student at the University of North Texas in the late 70s. It hurts to even say that. Late 70s, early 80s. We were getting ready for a spring choir tour. Sorry, Dennis, let me move that back a little. We were getting ready for a spring choir tour, and we were supposed to pick roommates. After a choir rehearsal one day, we were supposed to rush toward the people we'd like to room with, and me and this one other tenor got together because we were pretty confident that we were both straight. And it was kind of like everyone rushed together and we sort of stayed back and found each other and decided that we would be colleagues for the spring choir tour. These musicians. And yet, the diversity that we have, the diversity that we share, helps us to define ourselves by looking around us and knowing those around us. I don't expect to convince you by anything that I say, of anything really, but rather to give you a bit of a window to know your pastor and to know that I believe the gospel of God's gracious love in Jesus Christ, as shown so ultimately in his life, death, and resurrection is for all people. For all sinners, for all saints, and for all who need his grace. The language of diversity is necessary because of sin and rebellion. It's necessary too because of our penchant for going our own way. Methodist. And I wrote in a way that I later noticed the word methodust. We are all dust of the earth. We're made of the dust, and we are redeemed and blown into by the breath of God, the breath of Holy Spirit. So we are not to judge each other. We are to be judged by God. We dare not judge for our own perspective or from our own perspective. There is room for all. It is not ours to decide who, but to love and to grow, to encourage others to grow, to draw, to pull along, to push. We celebrate Holy Scripture, but we also celebrate Holy Spirit that reveals that meaning and that deepness, that depth to us. We pray for the unity of the church in God, in the Holy Spirit, that God in His wisdom would lead us. We watch for prayer. With prayer for God to lead us and guide us and love us and hold us close, to hold our witness of faith and receive it. There was no note with the carton of eggs that was left for us. And yet, when we opened that 12-pack, that cardboard carton, those eggs were multicolored. There were some that were white. There were some that were brown. There were some that were green. I don't know who left them, but thank you. We've eaten most all of them by now. And you know what? The white and the brown and the green ones tasted pretty much the same. It was a generous gift. The fruit of the earth, the farm, the living things, and just wholesome and nutritious food. See, Jesus didn't focus upon sin. He focused upon forgiving sin, upon grace. He did call people to go your way and sin no more. But I suppose he also knew that that isn't possible, but rather a noble objective to value being good and doing good. We can face the world and others with condemnations. We can face brokenness and reject it and push it aside as though we aren't broken ourselves. Or we can turn it inside out and recognize that we are all sinners and in need of God's grace, and that we are all called to repent and turn and face the Lord and follow. We are following not alone, but with a cloud of witnesses, of saints, of church fathers and mothers, those who have led worship, those who have composed music, those who have inspired the poets, who have created beautiful art, We are called to serve with a cloud of witnesses who have led the way, remembering the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night that led the people of Israel right into the promised land. Let us run with endurance, with perseverance, the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And let us endure trials for the sake of the discipline of following him. Discipline seems painful at the time, see? But later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. If today is a day for you to come to this faith in Christ Jesus, to claim it, to find your place in it, then I invite you to lift yourself and to come to the altar for this time of invitation and hope. If you simply want to come and be on your knees by yourself and pray, you are welcome to come. I invite you to understand that God's promise is to be there, to be with us. And now, as we come toward the end of this congregation's worship for today and this service, let us all take what we have heard, mull it over in our minds, figure out where we stand, and move forward for the kingdom of God. Our hymn of invitation today is for us to come and present ourselves before God's altar. It is, "I sing a song of the saints of God." Let us sing together. Will you stand and rise with me? Come to the altar as you will. Spend time alone or flag down one of our pastors, and we will be happy to pray with you and lift you up. God bless. Saints are forgiven. Saints bring hope to other saints and lift God and the cross of Jesus Christ in the world to draw others toward it. Amen.